The nature of the presentation is that the government content, there is an aspect that the minister has still taken to cabinet. So we might need to have another session like this in a week's time or two. But with the work in the committee class, we'll see what the soonest further slot that we can afford. So without much ado, we are in your table and I'm not sure who is the first. You will introduce your delegation. It's quite a substantive delegation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. And we'd also like to thank members of the committee for having extended the invitation to us to come and make this presentation. I think this will be one of the first presentations that we have made on the DCI incentive and also on the industrial development zone for quite a while. And we are looking forward to inform and secondly to hear the views of the members on the IDZ and also to exchange views on the IDZ and those and also on the DCI incentive program. Chair, in terms of our incentives, we have come with us today officials of the department coming from a number of divisions within the department, and we have also invited the CEO of the East London IDZ and also the senior manager for operations from Kuka IDZ and the senior manager for operations from the Richard Bay IDZ. The way we had thought we would do the presentation is that we would give the committee an overview of the incentives that we have and also an overview of the IDZ program, and maybe we would give both Kuka and East London IDZ at least towards the end of the presentation 15 minutes each to just give members an idea of what's happening at those different IDZ and what is the progress that they are making. So before we get into the first part of the presentation, maybe then we will take 10, I'll allow team members to introduce themselves. My name is Melody Kupa and I'm the Deputy Director General for the Enterprise Organization, which is a division within the department that is responsible for developing and managing incentives.
I'm Godfrey Mashamba. I work in the same division as the design center. Hello, I'm Kwezi Tia. I'm working in operations of the Kuka Development Corporation.
Hello, Makhesha. Just pay as the similar portfolio.
From East London IDZ.
Thank you, Chair. Well, to get into the presentation, the way we have organized our presentation today, like I said, is in two areas. One, we'll be looking at incentives, and secondly, we'll be looking at industrial development zones. And with the incentives, we'll try and cover the current situation with incentives, We will look over the past 6 years where we have been implementing a specific program, say what has been the impact of this program of incentives. We are currently conducting a review of the DTI incentives. We have finalized phase one of the process, and we want to share with the committee some of the recommendations coming from the incentives review process. What is our proposed action plan going forward, and to give the committee also an indication of the kind of resources that Parliament has allocated us for the forthcoming medium-term expenditure framework. And then the second part of the presentation will be an overview of the IDZ by ourselves, and then KUKA and Islaman IDZ will give us details about those two IDZs. Chair, just to review, these are the DTI strategic objectives. I think about a month ago I came here with the DG. We just thought that you would see them in our presentation. And maybe to talk about the enterprise organization as a division within the DTI. Our mandate within the DTI is the development and administration of incentives. Now, I think the long-term plan within the department is that in the future, we would have the enterprise organization being the focus of incentives within the DTI. Currently, management of incentives within the DTI is still in a number of divisions. I think there are some of our incentives are managed in the enterprise and industry division of the department. And some of them are managed with some of our independent institutions like the IDC. Some of them are with the International Trade Administration of ITAC. In the long run, although the responsible managing institution might not necessarily be TO, but the idea is that from a departmental point of view, we would like to centralize the oversight within the enterprise organization so that the department can see quite properly what is the impact that our different programs are having in particular sectors and also in particular regions. But today we have invited colleagues from EID who are managing the technology programs, and also colleagues from PISA who are managing the EMEA program. The incentives that we won't be covering in this particular presentation today will obviously be the Motor Industry Development Program and the Duty Credit Certificate Scheme, which are duty-based methods and which are managed within the ITAC. The incentives that we will cover today are the different grant programs of the department, and also the different tax schemes that we have had. The duty certificates and motor industry development programs are fairly big programs that maybe the committee at one particular point in time might want to have a presentation on. And also we will not be covering the National Industrial Participation Program because we understand that the committee has gotten regular briefings about that. It's also managed not within CEO but within the E division. To just give an overview of the department, as I've already indicated, CEO was set up, you know, as one of the service delivery divisions of the department together with TISA. We interact directly with enterprises, and we get our directions from EID and from the ITES division and the rest of the DTI group. Now to get into the heart of our presentation today, the incentives that we are going to be talking about today were introduced in 2000, in the year 2000, and they were commonly known as the six tag, intended to last for 6 years, and there are about six of them. And incentives as part of the DTI annual budget, I think that's just over 2 billion rand, and they constitute about 35% to 40% of the DTI budget. And in that 2 billion rand, we haven't included some of the incentives like your tax allowances, which are obviously non-cash but have got a direct, you know, cash benefit for firms that receive traditional tax allowances. Quite recently, Cabinet approved the NITF document, which is the National Industrial Policy Framework document, and this document lays out for the future the kinds of incentives that the DTI is going to be having, and as such, you know, part of the current review is trying to make sure that our incentives will be aligned with the NITF document, and also to ensure that our incentives also take into account targets that are set in the customized sector program. As a result, you know, there's a bit of a flux around our incentives, with some incentives being phased out as planned. You know, there are two, from 2000 to 2006, it was planned that at this particular point in time, we would have a review and come up with new incentives. Just to give an overview of the different programs that we have, programs like SMEDT, which has had quite a lot of coverage in the media quite recently, which we are here looking at, the Strategic Industrial Project, which was established as part of the Income Tax Act, and I think expired in 2005. We are currently just monitoring the implementation. The Foreign Investment Grant, which was tied to the SMEDT, project that incentives that we are currently managing, the Critical Infrastructure Program, the Capital Goods Feasibility Study Fund, BTO&O, which is one of the latest incentives that we've introduced, the Film and TV Production Rebate Scheme, which is another incentive that has only been implemented in the last 2 years, the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, which was piloted in our sister division, EAT, and is now in the process of being transferred to our management. And these are mostly the incentives that look at investment, grants and tax incentives. And then on the right-hand side, you've got competitiveness set of incentives. The first two, the Sector Partnership Fund and Competitiveness Fund, have largely been phased out, but we will just give an overview of one slide, I think, in our presentation of what it is. The Skill Support Program and Black Business Supply Development Program are incentives that we are currently managing. Skill Support in conjunction with the Department of Labor, and then, of course, there's the EMEA scheme, which has always been with the Department of Trade and Industry. Now, just to look at the individual incentive program. We've tried to classify them in terms of investment incentives, those incentives that have to do with trade facilitation, incentives that have to look at small enterprises and equity, such as Black Business Supply Development Program and the cooperative incentives, and the competitiveness promotion incentives, such as support for industrial innovation, Cedar Technology Incubator, Film, and the CS scheme. I think, though, although what I might want to say about this slide is that although we do divide the incentives conceptually into investment, competitiveness, and small enterprise, it's quite important to know that, you know, 90% of our incentives really go to small and medium-sized enterprises. So, for instance, we might classify the SMEDT as an investment scheme, but, you know, 90% of the recipients of the SMEDT are actually small enterprises that are investing, and so forth. So those categories are not really ironclad categories, but, you know, they're not really conceptual categories aimed to promote understanding. Now, to talk about the SMEDT. The SMEDT program was launched in 2000, and the idea with the SMEDT was to try and promote investment by small and medium enterprises, primarily in the manufacturing and the tourism sector. The SMEDT as a scheme offers small and medium enterprises a grant of up to 10% per annum for investment up to 100 million rand. That is, if at all an enterprise invests 1 million rand, then they can qualify for a grant of 10% of that 1 million rand, which would be 100,000 for a 3 year period. Over a 3 year period, then that particular enterprise would have received 30% of the investment in land, buildings, and machinery back from the department. In order to qualify for the third year, normally we would look at the labor intensity of the investment, and if at all the investment is creating sufficient jobs, then the firm would qualify for the third year. So there's an important qualification criteria for the third year, and it has to do with labor. Since 2000, we have approved close to 12,500 SMEs for an incentive grant of up to 13.9 billion to start new or expanded existing enterprises. And at the bottom, we've got an indication of where most of those firms have been. 27% have been in the Western Cape and also in Gauteng. And KZN has had about 17% of the investment. I think maybe the thing to say about this slide is that really most of South Africa's manufacturing capacity tends to be concentrated in those three provinces. And what we have seen in the SMEDP is that most of the manufacturing investment has continued to be in the Western Cape, in KZN, and in Gauteng. If we were to disaggregate, and go back to the slide, if we were to disaggregate this slide in terms of tourism, we would see that the geographic spread of tourism would be much more different, in the sense that provinces like Mpumalanga, provinces like the Eastern Cape and Limpopo have received a large percentage of the tourism grant. This is just an indication of how grants are awarded within the SMEDP. Smaller enterprises would normally, this would be the size of the category of projects that we have approved. About 69% of the projects that we have approved in the SMEDP, of those 13,000 projects, have been for firms investing less than 5 million rand. About 26% has been between 5 million and 20 million rand. And there's been very few projects investing greater than 20 million rand. So about close to 69% or 70% has been for investment of less than 5 million rand. So it's primarily a program that is assisting mostly small enterprises. And in terms of the sectoral breakdown, the important thing I think to take from this slide would be that really the tourism sector has received about 35% of the support that we've given through the SMEDP. And then agro-processing would be the next biggest sector of support that government has supported through this program, and that the rest of the other sectors would be there. And in terms of the investment that has been supported, it's close to 670 billion rand in plant machinery and equipment, and the number of jobs created is 330,000 jobs created. The reason we started with the SMEDP is because the SMEDP as a grant program is the largest scheme that is administered by the department. The budget for the SMEDP is approximately 650 million rand per year for the next 3 years. At the current moment, the SMEDP is being reviewed. I think in August last year, we issued a media release indicating that we were suspending the scheme for a period of 3 to 6 months. At that particular point in time, there were two things. One, the scheme was supposed to be coming to an end because it was supposed to come to an end in August last year. we the department has done a number of reviews on the FMEDP, a number of studies to see how effective has this program been. And the effectiveness that we've looked at has been, you know, has it really created projects where there would not have been projects, and has it in certain instances made sure that the projects that have been established by funds are bigger than they would have been in the absence of the incentives, or have we brought forward projects that maybe might have taken a longer time to start? And we've received quite a number of good recommendations. So the idea was that, you know, we need to tighten up and ensure that with the FMEDP we provide support where it really makes a difference. Now, what happened after we had suspended the FMEDP was that in August of last year, we normally receive close to 300 applications a year. In August of last year, 300 applications a month for a maximum of about maybe 3,000 applications a year. In August of last year, we received 2,600 applications just in that 1 month for the FMEDP. What that has implied is that, you know, in terms of the commitment, the amount of applications that we have and that we are currently considering are just have the value in terms of the incentive once those applications have been approved would be equal to what we've got in our MTF budget. So for us to consider new applications, we will really have to talk to our colleagues at National Treasury to ensure that there will be sufficient funding. So in terms of the review, we have worked at amending the guidelines for the scheme, but it will not be possible to relaunch the scheme until we have finalized issues around budgeting and ensuring that there is sufficient funding before we launch a new scheme. And then one of the other important incentives over the past 6 years that we've managed was the strategic industrial project. And this program was a tax allowance aimed at large-scale investment. In order to qualify for the SIF, an investment has to be in the manufacturing or ICT sector and has to be greater than 50 million rand of investment in new plants and machinery and land and buildings. I think the last application we received was in July 2005. That was the last day for applications to come in. For the SIF, in the period that we managed the program, we approved 45 projects with qualifying investment value of 28.7 billion rand. One of the criteria for receiving the SIF investment was that a company that has to upgrade the local industry, there has to be a strong linkage to SMMEs, and also there has to be strong employment opportunities. And companies were awarded points based on how much they contributed in each of these particular areas. Now, of the 45 SIF projects that were approved, 25 have established, and the 25 that have established, the investment has been more than 7.8 billion rand, and the number of jobs that have been created is about 12,018 jobs. And the graph here gives really the sectors where most of the approvals are in terms of the number of projects. Metals is the top one, followed by chemicals. And coming to what we are doing within the department is that on an annual basis, all of the approved projects have to submit reports to the minister indicating how far they are with the establishment of the program. In terms of the SIF, an approved project had about 4 years, a window of 4 years once the approval had been granted by the minister to establish. And so various projects are in the process of establishing and collecting the allowances from the revenue office. And so we are monitoring them on a yearly basis. Another important investment incentive that we have is the critical infrastructure program. And with the CIP, what we do is that we provide up to 30% grant support for infrastructure necessary for the establishment of investment projects. And the support that we provide through the CIP, the infrastructure that we provide could be bulk infrastructure like water infrastructure, roads, telecommunications, electricity. What normally happens is that companies establishing in some of the provinces would have projects, but there would not be adequate infrastructure in terms of electricity or road infrastructure to support that project. And in that particular case, the department would then cost share either with the province or with the municipality or with the companies themselves some of the cost of establishing that infrastructure. And for the past four years, we were also funding the IDs as part of the critical infrastructure. Of the 21 projects that have been approved, 18 projects were really with private sector companies, and 3 projects were with IDs. And in terms of the projects that have been approved, the infrastructure amount was 990 million, and that would include both our contribution and the contribution of the companies involved, and supporting investment projects of up to 9.2 billion. And in terms of infrastructure, there's a much more better spread of provincial allocation of resources or approvals of projects. And then last year we launched a new incentive in conjunction with the Department of Public Enterprises and also with ESCOM called the Developmental Electricity Pricing Program. And what we do with the Developmental Electricity Pricing Program is that we provide special concessions on input costs on electricity for energy-intensive projects consuming more than 50 megawatts of electricity. And what would normally happen with this project is that in providing a quotation for this project, ESCOM would see what would be an internationally competitive energy price to offer a particular project in order to try and attract it to South Africa. One of the conditions, though, of ESCOM's quote is that there can be no cross-subsidy. So the price that ESCOM offers to a particular client cannot be dependent on other clients of ESCOM cross-subsidizing this particular project. Today, we have approved one project, which is Alcan, which is going to be locating within Kuha. And some of the conditions for the approval require that Alcan must supply aluminium to downstream industries at competitive prices. One of the other incentives that we recently launched this year was the BPO&O incentive. The idea behind this incentive is to attract investment by offshoring BPO operations to South Africa. And the incentive offers an investment grant of 37,000 to 60,000 rand per seat. It is also linked to training and skill support for company-specific training. In order to qualify for the incentive, a company has to be establishing a minimum of 100 seats and providing 200 new jobs. I think this committee was briefed recently by our EAD division on the whole strategy around BPO&O, and our function really is to administer the incentive. Then in terms of trade facilitation, we also have the export marketing and the EMEA scheme. It's been in existence since the mid-1990s, and what EMEA does really is that it provides small and medium enterprises with a grant, a cost-sharing grant for going to market their products internationally. Either it could be in the form of conducting export market research, finding out whether they've got buyers in international markets, or it could be in terms of the cost of traveling to international markets to do in-depth research on clients. It could also be the investment, inward investment recruitment in the form of inviting potential joint venture partners to come to South Africa and visit, you know, an interested SME, or it could be an South African SME going overseas to go and meet with a potential investor in South Africa. And mostly it's in the form of cost-sharing. The other important part of EMEA is the national pavilions where companies in different sectors, or the DTI organizes national pavilions and takes along South African SMEs to go and exhibit in a particular country where DTI has identified that there's a potential for South African exports. And these are really the different sectors, the companies in the different sectors that have managed to get the EMEA scheme. And looking into equity and small business, there's also the Black Business Supplier Development Program, which is a 80-20 cost-sharing grant aimed at assisting small Black-owned small enterprises to improve their capability to, you know, link to corporates and also to link to public tenders. And what we do with the Black Business Supplier Development Program is that for companies that have got, you know, small black companies that have got an annual turnover of less than 12 million rand, they are able to get assistance paid for, they are able to get assistance by a consultant or by a knowledgeable person on marketing, on drawing business plans, on raising capital from a consultant paid for 80% by the department to try and improve themselves. And since 2002, we've approved close to 3,000 projects worth over 97 million rand, and we've disbursed 56 million rand that we've as grants to the company. Most of the companies that we've assisted have been in the business services sector because that's where the opportunities are for small black business, 14% in manufacturing, tourism is another sector that's coming up, and because of the construction industry boom, a lot of the companies that we also assist are in the construction sector. Most of the funding has been really used by companies to try and improve their visibility. So most companies have come to us to say, we would like to prepare our business profiles, we would like to establish websites, we would like to do marketing plans. In certain instances, it's been cases where companies have said, we would like to, you know, ask you to assist us with promotional materials, either placing adverts for our products in newspapers and so forth. 16% has been for productivity improvement software, 11% for training and market research and quality product improvement other. And then the support for industrial innovation is administered by the Industrial Development Corporation, and internally within the DTI, it is managed by it. It's a matching grant whereby the DTI cost shares on a 50-50 basis with small companies the cost of developing new products or the new process technologies. And on an annual basis, the budget for the program is about 50 million rand. The output for 2006-2007, as an indicator, there were 85 projects that were approved. 34% of them were BE-owned enterprises, 18% were women-owned enterprises. The World Bank has done a report on this particular program, and comparing it internationally with other programs, SPY is one of the best performers, in fact, one of the best DTI incentive programs. And then there's the SPRIP program, which is administered within it, but on a day-to-day basis administered by the National Research Foundation. It's a matching grant that tries to link industry to the science councils and also to the tertiary institutions. In terms of the research that is done with the grant funding by the SPI, it's a little bit pre-competitive research or pre-commercial research. And the idea here is to develop the skills within industry and for people who are going to be able to do research, because accessing the grant is tied to universities being able to train students who will do the research, and there's a linkage with it with industry, that the research has to be relevant to industry. For 2006-2007, there were 388 projects that were approved, and of the 3,000 students that were supported, 55% were black and 36% were female, and these are students in, who are doing the research in tertiary institutions. In 2000, there was an OECD review again, you know, TRIP was recognized in terms of these kinds of programs as one of the best internationally. And then there's the CEDA Technology Incubator, which is also administered by CEDA, and it funds incubators for SMEs in different technology incubators, and on an annual basis, the GTI funds it by about 50 million rand. And some of the outputs for last year is that we created 49 technology-based SMEs who are actually located in the incubator. 272 SMEs received access or training to the incubator, and 32 firms received technology transfer. I think that the thing to mention is that all of the impact, or most of the impact of the CEDA technology incubator happens to be within the second economy, and tend to be quite BEE and also women-owned enterprises. And then one of the incentive programs that we've spoken quite a lot about in the past is the film production rebate. It was introduced in 2004, and the idea with the film scheme was to try and attract large budget film productions to South Africa. And I think it's important, that objective, because there's another objective that the department is beginning to focus on, and that is of developing the local South African industry. But when it was started, this scheme was really to say that South Africa has a number of advantages as a film location, and we needed to capitalize on those advantages by ensuring that we attract large budget film production. And the scheme has been quite successful in that regard. What the scheme provides, it provides a 15% rebate for qualifying South African production expenditure that comes from foreign films. So if at all a film is a foreign film, and you spend a million rand, if you qualify in South Africa, you qualify for a 15% rebate. And if it's a South African-owned film, I think the rebate goes to about 25%. And there's a maximum rebate of about 10 million rand. In terms of the applications that we've approved close to 38 applications, and 20 of those have been foreign-owned, 18 have either been South African-owned or official co-production. And in terms of the amount of money that has been spent in terms of production in South Africa, it's close to 2 billion rand. And of that 2 billion rand, the rebate that has been approved by the department is about 300 million rand. Today, we have 17 productions of the 38 has been completed, and we have paid over rebates of close to 122 million rand. The thing about this scheme is that, you know, it has grown way beyond what we had initially budgeted for it. And then we just felt like, even though these incentives are no longer in existence, the Competitiveness Fund and the Sector Partnership Fund, which were administered between 1999 and 2005, we wanted to make sure that they are covered in our fee presentation. And they were really aimed at small and medium-sized enterprises like the BBSDP. They also provided small and medium enterprises with the opportunity to employ consultants to assist with things like becoming ISO 9000 ready, getting somebody to come and assist with also with modern methods of production such as just-in-time productions, looking at companies' IT. The idea was to help the companies that are in manufacturing to ensure that, you know, they adopt the most modern methods of running their funds and they improve on their productivity. And with the sector partnership fund, the idea was to get firms in particular sectors, especially small firms, to network and work together. Because we realize that with globalization, smaller firms sometimes can benefit from working together, especially if they are competing in a globalized environment. We did do an impact analysis of the program with the World Bank, and we found out that, you know, in terms of the firms that were assisted by this program, they enjoyed sales and export growth that were 2% and 1% higher than comparative firms in South Africa that were not receiving this program. In terms of the recommendations on the incentive review process that we have done, I think that the review has said that we should really continue focusing on what we are doing right now, that there should be a focus in terms of our incentives on ensuring that we focus on increasing the rate of investment in manufacturing, on assisting firms to improve their competitiveness, on trade facilitation, export promotion, and FPT. What the review has said is that we should also maybe tighten our selection criteria for choosing projects in terms of their potential to, you know, to have some additional benefit to the public. That is, we should try and select projects where, you know, either a project would not have occurred if there was no funding from government, or it might have occurred on a smaller scale, or it might have taken a long time. So there's always got to be an additionality, and you have to look at what are the public benefits of giving the grants that you give. And we should also ensure that we tighten maybe on some of the conditions to ensure that if at all a project does not achieve what government is intending for it to achieve, we can claw some of the money back. And also we should look at those projects where there are economies of scale, modernizing of capital equipment, and ensure that, you know, we focus on those sectors where government has targeted. Yeah. And the other important thing is that we have really been advised that we need to improve on monitoring and on reporting on the impact of our incentives. So it's one of the focus areas going forward. In terms of going forward, I think we are coming to the end of this presentation. We will be looking at developing new incentives around investment. We already have introduced DPO and Fulham. We will be looking to decouple from the SMEDP, the tourism sector, and also continue with the critical infrastructure. With competitiveness, cluster incentives, we will be looking again at promoting manufacturing excellence, which is something that is coming from the CSPs. Trade facilitation, we will be looking at changing EMEA. SMEDP, we are really busy working on that. We will be also looking at ensuring that we revise the BBSDP to make sure that it stays a relevant incentive. We will be looking at the cooperative incentives because from what we understand, it has already had a big impact, and we'll be making sure that it is managed professionally and it reaches companies, and with the film scheme, we'll be looking at amending the scheme so that it also addresses the issue of developing local production. And then just in case of our budget, you can see here that from 2006 to 2009, our budget has increased quite substantially. One of the reasons though is because there's been a substantial increase in the amount of money that is devoted to IDZ. There's also been a growth in terms of the SMEDP. And these are the resources. So for the first time, I think this year, we will be going over the 2 billion rand mark in terms of the assistance that we give to industry. And then so maybe it might be time to pause before we get into the IDZ presentation. I'm not sure whether should we continue with the IDZ presentation or should we pause them.
Thank you very much. I think it would be advisable to take some questions and comments on this part of the presentation.
Small enterprise development. You said you spent 12.359 million. Or is it billion? I feel it. Million. You've left over with 1.54. It's on page 5.
Okay.
I just did a small sum and I thought that perhaps you could see some clarity. Was there money that was rolled over with this fund?
The 13.9 million.
You didn't spend the full amount.
No. Let me just go into that. What happens is that in terms of the SMEs that we have approved, we would normally give, firms would approach the DCI and say that we are going to establish a taxi and it's going to cost us a million rand to make an investment over a 3-year period in this taxi. And then we will then award an amount to as an incentive to that taxi. Now the money has to be claimed over a 3-year period. And sometimes what happens is that either the investment might be less than what the firm has originally indicated, or things just don't materialize and about the firm never made the investment. So the 13.9 billion helps us in terms of all the business plans that have been forwarded to us and the approval. They run to 13.9 billion rand. And it's only once the investment has been made that we will pay out the grant. Now, in terms of the grant that we have paid of the 13.9 billion, we paid close to 2.5 billion rand so far. And we are hoping that currently approving process that came in August last year. We are hoping that going into the future of this 13.9 billion, we pay 2.5 billion, and we are hoping to pay another 2.5, 2.6 billion rand. So of the 13.9, we are hoping that maybe we might end up paying about 60-70% of that. Over the next, we pay 2.5 over the next 3 years, in terms of the project that we've approved.
So you approve more than,
or
equal to what you I just want clarity that if the budget is given, you approve projects, and we would like to see money spent so that people get the money. Because road always become a bit of a problem. I want to see an example, or give me an example of sector partnership funds. Sector partnership fund, I would be very interested to see. And also in terms of your film enterprise, a film, what is it? Is it a scheme, incentive scheme, a film incentive scheme? Give me one example. because when we had, I think I attended a workshop with the Deputy Minister, and there were some youngsters, you know, our disadvantaged community, and they came up to me and they said, we are these producers, but we really have a very difficult time. So perhaps if you could tell us how much advocacy you do on this, because I think it is a very, it's a market where many of our people would like to be. So I think maybe if you could tell me a little bit of advocacy and a little bit of detail, how do you give some incentives? And then your slide on page 15, you have an allocation with regard to all your incentives. It would be nice. I don't think you can answer me now immediately because it's a very challenging question. I would like to see how many women actually got these schemes. Because you did fairly well, although we would like to see all the money spent. But I think you did fairly well, but we'd like to see how many women have gained. If there is anything done on this, or if it is in the process. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I just want to find out the reason behind awarding SME only in terms of incentives. And I think the word SME is really absent in the industry. It doesn't mean that you are actually also supporting SMEs. I'm talking about the micro business. And that to me indicates that we are leaving out the critical sector that we need to support, and then I mean the micro in particular, where you find most of the black-owned businesses are found. So why not as an SME? Can you just indicate to us, perhaps, I don't know whether you're going to be able now, but we would need to know these SMEs that have been incentivizing, who are they? Where are they found? How many are black-owned? Black-owned, I mean African, Indian, color. How many are those? Because to me, lastly, on SMEs, you find those business people being well off, you know, whites in particular, in that sector, you know, at that level. So can you indicate to us, you know, how many would be black and so on? I understand that at some point you indicated that some of them are CEOs and women owned. Can you actually make some example, where are the BEE owned, which are those businesses, and the women as well. Chair, the other question is around the critical infrastructure. On page 8, I see that you have indicated that you have this percentage per province, but there is nothing that has been done about the Free State, and why? The Free State, and my colleagues are saying,
Western Cape.
But I'm interested in the Western Cape more than the Western Cape.
I know Western Cape.
You are discriminating.
No.
Yeah, well, welcome. That will explain. And on page 14, can you indicate the output? You know, you say this competitive fund were administered between 1999 and 2004. What are the results of that? What are the outputs? Can you indicate to us that this is what actually resulted, you know, out of that administration of the fund? The last one, Jay, on page 15, I think also in other pages before page 15, we indicated that there is something that you are doing for cooperatives. Can you clarify that and expand on it? Because we are, because what we have seen, cooperatives are not by the Department of Trade and Industry. That's what has come out. Even in the previous week, we had a presentation from the small business people.
Let me stick to this one.
But what we have found that there's nothing that has been done by the DTI. There is no budget that is allocated for SME, for cooperatives. So can you just expand on the support for cooperatives? Because that is where you find the DLPEE on cooperatives, and most of the cooperatives, and the main ones in particular.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. This is an encouraging report. It's the kind of thing you want to hear. And it's good to see that the DDI is beginning to plan the incentives, competitiveness, and so on. I'm interested in just three or four points quickly. This competitiveness business. On every page, we're told you want to be competitive. But as I indicated at the beginning, you can't talk about being competitive without also looking at the external market. So at some stage, not now, please give us an idea. What are the obstacles to being competitive? Because you can't knock your head against the wall, even providing incentives, in a world where you are being undermined by subsidies and the rest, as I indicated at the opening. So we need to get a balanced understanding. We are spending billions of money on incentives, but the world is putting in more. So tell us what's the balance of probabilities, if I may ask. So this question of incentives must be located, linked to competitiveness and external market. So maybe I'm pushing you a bit far, but that's what one would like to know. Secondly, what is the administrative cost of each program? You know, looking at some of them, if I read it right, the expenditure exceeds the amount that the other people are investing. So what is the admin cost of the department in relation? I think we need a balanced picture. The government, the department is spending so much on incentives, the cost of those incentives to the country is so much, and the result is so much. So you have a number of columns, if I may put it that way. Thirdly, the question of rural. You know, this business of breaking down expenditures by provinces is fine. It helps us to understand about the Free State and Gauteng. But you know, within some of the provinces, they are rural areas. Now, this committee is always pushing for micro and for black and for rural. So what is your program doing for our rural people? Finally, you mentioned the World Bank and the OECD reviews. I don't know if the whole committee would like those reports, but I certainly would. I'd like copies of those. And just finally, Chair, you know, the department has been engaged with the World Bank for quite a while, as is indicated here. That relationship has never been reported to this committee, as far as I know. And yet the Constitution requires that Parliament should be informed about international agreements and so on. So I would ask that we please get some sort of report. If it's sensitive, you can do it confidentially. But I think we need to know what is the degree of cooperation with the World Bank, what are they doing for us, and so on. Nobody ever reports us on that stuff. So OECD, World Bank, reports please, and what is the relationship and how far does it extend? Thanks, Chair.
With regard to the report that we need, it's our responsibility to request. We can look at the program and when next they come to report for other agencies, we can ask for this report. If we don't ask, we will not succeed. Simple as that. Mentally, you are next.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. On SMEDC, what is the impact of this incentive? You know, the intensification of the fight against poverty and underdevelopment remains the main objective in all what we are doing. Now, you have mentioned the creation of 12,018 jobs by 35 projects. What I would like to find out is the sustainability of the jobs created. And you also said since 90% of your incentive goes to SMEs. How many are there in rural areas? Especially when you talk about infrastructure development. Lastly, I think it's on page 11, on Black Business Supply Development Program. You indicated that there are consultants that are paid by DTI. You mentioned something like 8%, I don't know 8% of what. That are helping the businesses in the DC, the small businesses to make business plans and so forth. What I would like to know is that how did you calculate the 8% that you're talking about? And lastly, Chairperson, it's on page 14. Competitiveness, promoting competitiveness. You say this competitiveness fund and sector partnership fund were administered between 1999 and 2004, together with the World Bank. Now, what was the impact? And you say the programs were discontinued in 2005. Can you give us a reason why they were
mentally, thank you very much, Dr. Razi.
Thank you, Chair. On page 9, you mentioned that Alcan is one of the key anchor tenants in the Kuga project and so forth. I'm referring to the developmental electricity program, DEPP. Now, you also mentioned that you are going to prevent the import parity prices being downloaded onto the onto other industries. I think you talk about downstream industries in total. I'd like to have examples of those downstream industries. And I wonder whether they'll be able to apply import parity, because if you look what the middle sea was doing at the moment and they're getting away with it. So what are they going to do to prevent Alcan from not being the same as Middle Steel? And then on page 42 was my concluding tip, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to know, when do they intend to re-establish this new competitive promotion incentive and so forth? Because I think time is of the essence here. The sooner we do it, the better. And I'd also like to know why they discontinued in 2005 if it was such a success. Thank you, Chairman.
Dr. Ravi, thank you very much. Mera Budis.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 16 of the slide, on the million term budget allocation, I just want a clarification on these two last items, which is the East London and the Richard Bay. Perhaps I missed that one. And then on page 3, I see my question is also somehow related to the previous question that was posed in terms of the current situation that we were outlining. In the last minute where you are saying as a result, some incentives are being phased out and new ones are being introduced. Can you elaborate on that one as well, please? And some of them were covered.